And all right, thank you. If you have your Bibles this morning, Revelation chapter number 1, please. Revelation chapter number 1. And again, thank you so much for being here with us today. This day starts a series in prophecy that we're going to deal with every Sunday in the month of September, entitled The Final Chapter. And I'll say more about this as we get started here in just a few moments. But I'm going to ask you all to really pray for me, pray for our church, and then invite people to come. Probably one of the greatest opportunities that we have in the day in which we live is to tell people about what is going on in our society, and we know all about it. I mean, we've already been told about what's going to happen or what's happening, and boy, they know a little bit, but they don't know much, and we have a great opportunity to tell them. So I encourage you to really invite some folks to come with you and be a part of this. This has been challenging for me. I've never preached a series on prophecy. I've preached messages on prophecy, and used to taught in Bible college for about 2 years before I moved here in Charlotte, and one of the classes I taught was the book of Daniel. And if you know anything about Daniel, I mean, goodness, 70% of Daniel is about prophecy. And, of course, not superseding the book of Revelation, that 95% of the words in Revelation is prophetic. I'm excited about today. I intended to do 4 messages in the month of September. And I began to get together information and messages and just gather up useful things for my messages. And I don't know how I'm going to get it all in 4 Sundays. I don't understand how I'm going to get it all in here. And if you know anything about prophecy, you know anything about Revelation or Daniel, you know anything about what we're dealing with, boy, there is so much information. And I'm going to give you a overview this morning of what I feel like is the route we need to go for today. And if you've ever been in a college class, I hope this is not going to be as boring as that, but I've got to lay a foundation. We're going to go through some terms. We're going to talk about a basic level, 101, prophecy 101 today, and see what the Lord does for us this morning. Revelation chapter number 1, and we're going to start reading in verse number 9. And then once we go there, we'll finish up in Matthew chapter 24. Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation in the kingdom and the patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what seest thou, write in a book, and send it unto the 7 churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. In the midst of the 7 candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, and as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the 7 stars, as thou sayest, in my right hand, the 7 golden sticks. The 7 stars are the angels, the 7 churches, and the 7 candlesticks which thou sawest are the 7 churches. Call your attention to verse number 19 as we take this as our series text phrase. He said, write the things which you have seen. Write the things which are, and here's the phrase, write the things which shall be hereafter. Matthew chapter 24, if you turn there with me this morning, we'll finish there today. Matthew 24, it's imperative that we lay some foundation with these beginning scriptures. And again, I'm going to be very conscious of our time this morning, but I want you to focus today on what these scriptures tell us. Initially, as John got the vision from the Lord, and he asked him to write what shall be hereafter, the things that are to come. Now we find in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus Christ himself speaking about those things. Matthew chapter 24, look at verse number 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, what shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Boy, if that isn't the question of 2014, I don't know what is. The end of the world. I mean, you remember Y2K? Remember year 2000? Everybody thought it was coming to an end. Remember 2012? I mean, that was a big deal. The numbers added together to then. Boy, that's the big scenario. That's the big question. When is the end of the world? Verse 4, here's Jesus addressing this question. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear wars, rumors of wars, seeing that be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because of iniquity shall abound, and the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. This morning, with the help of the Lord, I'd like to preach in this series, the final chapter, the message for today. Here's our message title, Why Prophecy? Why prophecy? Why is it important that we preach on prophecy? Why is it important that we talk about it? Why is it important that we learn about it? Why is it important that it's in the Scripture? Why prophecy? This morning we'll begin with a word of prayer. Before I pray, I do not want to forget this. Many of you know Jim Turner suffered a massive heart attack on Tuesday. And Jim Turner had a lot of damage to his heart. He's still in the hospital. They were going to move him down to a step-down unit. He was doing a little bit better. The functionality of his heart is still just not where they want it. It's only functioning about 30% or so. But remember to pray for Jim. And, of course, Doris. And if all goes well, he continues to improve. They may let him come home sometime this week. But remember to pray for Jim and Doris, if you would. Also, it's good to see Clara here. Man, we've missed you, Miss Clara. And I just saw you. And good to see her with us this morning. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father, Lord, you know I need your help this morning. I can't do this on my own. So, God, please help me. Fill us. Fill me with your power. May your Holy Spirit teach us and help us today in ways that we've never seen before. And God, may these scriptures, may these words, may these uncertainties in many respects, may our eyes be enlightened to the truth. And God, we need your touch this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to do my best to try not to make it more of a Bible college class. I'm going to try to make it my best to preach this morning, but I do want to give you some facts. Prophecy, simply, if you want a definition of what prophecy is, it's simply this: history written in advance. That's what prophecy is in a simple way. History written in advance. So you want to talk about history, prophecy is what's going to happen in the future. And let me just say this morning. We're going to basically deal with a certain part of prophecy, and we're going to deal with eschatology. The word eschatology just simply means the study of the last things or the last times. How many of you have ever heard of the word eschatology before? Let me see your hand. All right, eschatology just means that we study the things that are going to happen in the end. The last things, in fact, the Bible calls them the latter days, or the last hours, or the last days. We're going to be talking about eschatology, the things that will come in the last days. Eschatologies deal with God's final judgments on the earth. It deals with heaven. It deals with hell. It deals with the future events on this earth. You see, many people take eschatology and they misuse it, they abuse it. Can I tell you some quick different ways they do that? First of all, many people try to set a date of when things are going to happen. Can I tell you something, and you know this, that's a no-no. Amen. That's a no-no. Here's what the Bible says, that no man knoweth the hour in which the Lord will come. No man knows. And you can kind of put all the numbers together you want. You can try to calculate it. You can put in any equation you want to get it. But only He knows when it's going to happen. Amen. So when we talk about eschatology, it'll do you no good this morning to try to figure out all the details of dates. All we need to know this morning is that if it's in the Bible, it's going to happen. Okay? It's going to happen. Get prepared for it. So that we have misuses. Another misuse of it is that we make controversy over minor points of eschatology. Now let me just give you a disclaimer here. I'm going to preach this morning, and I'm going to teach you over the next 4 weeks, not just what I believe, but what this church believes about eschatology. I'll make this point. There are good men of God. There are good Christians and Bible believers that may believe differently on certain points of eschatology. There are many people who may disagree with you and I on the different points in eschatology. I do not want us to have a controversy or disputes over minor points of eschatology. Can I tell you what the major point of eschatology is? He's coming back. Amen. He's coming back. All these are the issues that we could probably debate over. It's okay. You can be wrong. I can be right. We'll just leave it at that. All right. And then the major misuse of eschatology is found when we simply disregard or ignore what's going to happen. And I've been there before, and I think many of you have probably been there before. If we don't think about it, if we don't talk about it, if we kind of avoid the subject, it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. But if you turn on the news in any news channel in our day, you will see it on the news. You read a newspaper. You pick up a newspaper. You will read it in the newspaper. I mean, you can talk to the average citizen, and the greatest world story right now is the nation of Israel. Even in Asheville, there are protests against the nation of Israel. I mean, we're thousands of miles away, but even here in the United States, in Asheville, they are concerned about Israel. So when we think about prophecy this morning, the greatest misuse that Victory Baptist Church and the believer of Jesus Christ can do is to ignore it. So over the next 4 weeks, we don't want to ignore it. Three things I want to give you this morning. The first thing I want to talk about dealing with prophecy is the fulfilled prophecy in Scripture. For us to know what prophecy and eschatology are all about, we must lay the foundation that for this to be true, for this to be right, for us to have any type of trust and belief in what is said is going to happen, we must know what is already said was going to happen and was fulfilled and came to pass. Can I just give you some quick numbers quickly, and we'll move on. There were over 330 messianic prophecies in Scriptures. There were over 1,000 other prophecy in Scriptures. And over half of those 1,000 prophecies were already fulfilled in Scripture. Did you get that? We're talking about things that will happen that's already written, that hadn't happened, but things that the Old Testament said were going to happen that already happened. That hundreds of years before they said it would happen, it happened after that. So we want to lay the foundation to say prophecies have been fulfilled. For example, God told that the Hebrew prophet Jeremiah, the Jewish people would be in exile in Babylon for 70 years, and then they would be released and returned to Israel. And exactly the way that he prophesied, it happened. For example, the Lord also told the prophet Isaiah the exact name of the Persian king who would be instrumental in the Jewish people being set free in the Babylonian captivity, and that name was Cyrus, and that exactly happened the way that he was prophesied in the Old Testament. I could go on and on. Even the messianic prophecies, the prophecies about Jesus Christ, Micah chapter number 5, it prophesied that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Isaiah chapter 7 said the Messiah would be born of a virgin. Again, remind you, these are way, way before things happen. Isaiah chapter 9, it said that he would be born a son called the Mighty God. Isaiah chapter 9 also, it talked about that he would live and minister in a Galilean region. Zechariah tells us that he would ride in on a donkey. Isaiah also prophesied that he would take our infirmities, that he would heal our diseases. Isaiah chapter 53. On and on and on I can go. The Bible talks about him dying on a cross for us, being bruised, being beaten, having scars, and having his life torn apart. And then the Bible also prophesied that in 3 days that he would rise again. Do you believe that's already happened this morning? So we're talking about fulfilled prophecies. I can't spend a lot of time there, but just know this. The Bible has already guaranteed us that what is said in the Word of God has already come to pass. So we, with great certainty, can believe those things that have been said about what will happen. You can mark it down. You can take it to the bank. Will happen. Will happen. The second thing we're going to talk about this morning is the future prophecies of Scripture. The future prophecies of Scripture. Over the next 4 weeks, we'll take more a detailed look about these future prophecies. We'll look in the book of Daniel. We'll talk about Gog and Magog, and we'll talk about the 70 weeks, and we'll talk about what Revelation has to say about the tribulation, the great tribulation, and the different vials and bowls and judgments and the seals. And we'll talk about what those mean and how they'd apply to what's left on the earth. But right now, I want to just give you quickly the signs that we can see happening right now that these future prophecies are fulfilling. First of all, the first sign about these future prophecies that we can kind of write down and know for certain is the nation of Israel. Again, I've already made this point that if you watch the news, if you read the paper, the nation of Israel is at the very center, is at the very middle of prophetic events, and it is happening even as we speak right now. Ezekiel chapter 34 said the nation of Israel, He'll bring them to their own land and He'll feed them and He'll take care of them. And that's why I want to be the first to say, and I think you agree with this, that I stand with Israel. I stand with the nation of Israel. The legitimacy of Israel is a reality. They became a nation in 1948. They begin to bloom ever since, and they're blessed. That's why so many people want to demolish and destroy the nation of Israel. And such a small place, such a, so to speak, insignificant place on the scale of the world, but that's where everything's going to take place, the nation of Israel. The second thing we see by way of signs in future prophecy is means of travel. Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 4 in a prophetic statement said that many shall run to and fro, speaking about the capabilities one day that they'll be able to travel anywhere they want. Far cry from the horse and the buggies and even the early movements of cars. Can I tell you something? If you want to go anywhere in the world, you can do it before the day ends. You can get to where anywhere you want in the world before the day will end. We can travel anywhere we want. Talking about future prophecies that are coming to pass. Number 3, an increase of knowledge and information. Daniel chapter 12, verse number 4 also said, there'll be a knowledge that will be increased. That phrase here has the idea that there'll be an explosion of information and knowledge. Scientists and educators tell us between 1950 and 1985 that knowledge and information doubled. In other words, in just 35 years, the total amount of information worldwide doubled in 35 years. Even more astounding, the knowledge doubled again in only 20 years after the first time from 1985 to 2005. Can I tell you something? In 2015, they're predicting the knowledge and information grew to double once again. We live in a society today that information and knowledge is at an all-time high. How many have the internet? How many say, bless God, I'm never getting the internet? That's right. He's talking about smartphones. Said, I'll take one of them dumb phones. I'll just take that. The information and the knowledge that we have is exploding. Number four, another sign of the prophecies that are occurring today is false teachers and false Christs that arise. You know, the Bible predicted this would happen. That people would say that they are the Christ. That people would say that they are the one and only. And the Bible also prophesied that many false prophets will come and they'll say, follow me and do what I say and listen to what I'm telling you. False teachers and false Christ. Here's another one. Wars and rumors of war. Boy, if we're not there, I don't know where we are. Back in Matthew chapter 24, verse number 6 and 7, it talks about, you shall hear of wars and rumors of war. We live in a time frame in which at the drop of a hat, we could have world war happen any moment. Am I telling the truth? I mean, one decision can spark the worlds, the countries all around us to go complete nutso. As before 1914, we never had any universal war, but after 1914, total war was waged on the world. Red Cross estimated that over 100 million people have been killed since 1900. And that doesn't include the genocide of Russians. It doesn't include the Jews being exterminated in the Holocaust. It doesn't include the bloodthirsty people, the terrorism that we face today. I'm talking about 100 million people have been killed because of war. Wars and rumors of war. Here's something else. Famines and pestilences. We're talking about people not able to eat, people being in poverty. Pestilence has to do with diseases, whether it be diseases that affect plants or diseases that affect our livestock, or whether it be diseases that affect our human beings. I don't have to spend a lot of time here to say this. I'll give you a stat. Back in 1993, that AIDS became the leading cause of death in the United States between the ages of 20 and 45. We're talking about the HIV virus that have infected more than 120 million people, and at least 40 million people they estimate say that have either died or are close to dying with AIDS. However, we could talk about AIDS all we want, but there are over 100 different kinds of cancers. There's diseases that are running rampant in our society. In fact, the big thing now is Ebola that's over in the western parts of the world. But can I tell you something? We could go on and on and on about new deadly strains of diseases that are coming or that will be here. Can I just tell you something? Famines and pestilences is where we are in 2014. Increase of earthquakes. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse number 7, there will be earthquake in diverse places. March 27, 1964, Alaska was devastated by a massive earthquake measuring 8.4 on the Richter scale. In 43 years since then, more than 1.5 times as many quakes have occurred than all of recorded history before the Alaskan quake. Can I tell you something? Then there were 21 quakes of major strength in 800 years spanning the year 1000 to 1800. 21 earthquakes from 100 AD to 1000 AD. 100. 1000 AD to 1800. In the next 150 years, there would be 51 more. Since 1950, only 57 years, there have been 168 significant earthquakes. Not including the record tsunamis in the past 30 years that have hit our day and age. Here's another one, increased wickedness. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse number 12, because iniquity shall abound. We're living in a time today that the Bible prophesied in Genesis. The Bible prophesied in Isaiah. The Bible talked about in the New Testament. We're living in a day where wickedness is not just running rampant. Wickedness is the norm. Amen, Brother John. A survey of school teachers in 1940 identified the most serious problems that they dealt with in the classrooms. Here were the problems. Running in the hallway. chewing bubble gum and talking in class. 55 years later, in 1995, the same survey was given to school teachers. Here were the problems they dealt with: robbery, rape, alcohol, drugs, teen pregnancy, suicide, guns, and attacks on teachers. In the past years, we have fought what we know of as different lifestyle movements. We fought abortions, over 53 million abortions that the United States have a hand in performing in our society. And we want to say that we're doing what we should do. No, there's increased wickedness in our world. No concern for others. Matthew chapter 24, verse number 12, the Bible says, "The love of many shall wax cold." We're talking about a me generation that focused dramatically and noticeably on ourselves, on what we want. No care for others, no concern for the fellow man. It's my four and no more. It's self-preservation mode. It's internal focus. There's no love of others. There's no missions anymore. There's no, I'm worried about my neighbor. I'm worried about my neighborhood. It's me, it's me, it's me. We live in a society now that says this Generation X basically said, what do you think about the generation that you're called? And here's what they would say: I don't know and I don't really care. A generation of apathy. Can I tell you another sign of fulfilling prophecies that are taking place right now? That the gospel will be worldwide. Matthew 24, verse number 14 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a witness to all generations, the end shall come." You know what he's saying? He's saying that there will come a time that the gospel will be preached around the world. That there will be capabilities. That there will be communications. There will be no limits to how the gospel will not be limited to get from Bryson City all the way to Belize, all the way to Senegal, all the way to Venezuela, all the way to Japan. There will be no limitations to the gospel being preached across the world. I'm here today to tell you, with internet and satellite and television, that has never been more possible than right now. Never been more possible. Can I tell you something? If you have family in another country, you can talk to them right now. Not just on the phone. You can see them face to face. You can Skype them. You can FaceTime. The Word of God has so much potential today than it ever has. Can I give you another sign quickly? World political events. Again, I'm giving you as much of an overview, a survey of eschatology as best I can this morning to whet your appetite for the next 3 weeks. But there are things mentioned in Scripture about direct, specific countries that are happening now. In the Scripture, Russia is mentioned, a big player in prophecy. Iran, Turkey, Libya, of course Israel. On and on and on we can go. Ezekiel chapter 35 and chapter 36 says the Arab hostility towards Israel would be great and would be focused. Boy, if there's not hostility to Israel right now, I don't know when there is. Ezekiel chapter 38 and chapter 39 talks about the powers from the north. What we believe is Russia began to threaten Israel and the nation of Israel and the people of Israel, which we know with Gog and Magog, and we'll talk about that later. The Bible talks about in Revelation chapter 9 and Revelation chapter 16 that an Asian nation will have the capability to have a 200 million army. Well, we're talking about these Asian nations. We're talking about that nation having the capability. If you don't realize this, the greatest population in our world is over there. Daniel chapter 2 talks about the reunification of Europe and other powers in our world. And I'm not going to go as far as to say that United Nations is a part of that. All I'm saying is this: there will be a unification of Europe and the rest of the world that will come against Israel. And those are forming even as we speak. These world political events that are happening and take place, on and on I can go. Can I give you a last sign? These are modern day signs that are happening. population explosion. We have more people in our world than we've ever had. We're talking about we have an abundance of population in our world, and it's growing, and it's growing, and the Scripture talks about that. The resurgence of Israel, and how they'll be taken to a power, taken to a focus, taken to the center of the world's attention. How about modern day signs of the mark of the beast capabilities? We're setting up in our society for the government or for the world or for the Antichrist to be able to know exactly who you are, to know exactly where you've been, know exactly what's in your bank account, to know exactly everything about you to a T. Again, I'm not saying you can't have my information. All I'm saying is this, the capabilities of the mark of the beast is at an all-time high in 2014. The Bible says, on this earth, everyone will take that. If you're on this earth, if you don't take it, guess what? You're going to be killed. If you don't take the mark of the beast, and I just read an article this past week about a little chip that they're trying to get in mass production, that they can have all the information on that little chip inside embedded in your body. Mark of the beast capabilities. The technology that we have. These are the future prophecies that are taking place right now. But can I say you last of all, and I'm done, why prophecy? Because of fulfilled prophecies, because it's already happened, things have already happened. Because of future prophecies, things that we're seeing taking place right now. But number three, because of the final preparations that we're told in Scripture. Probably the greatest message that someone can preach in 2014 is this. It's coming to an end. The end's coming. Well, let me just back up and say this. You know what the Bible says? That it is at a point unto a man wants to what? Die. So you know the end's coming. By way of death? Or by way of the rapture, the Lord's coming back, the end is coming? Does someone to stand with fortitude and with boldness and with grit and say, the end of the world, the end is coming. You know what the Bible says? That's what John the Baptist declared. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. He is coming. You know what we need in our society? We need for people to understand, you need to be prepared for what's coming, because if you're not, you will have hell to pay. The Bible talks about, in Amos, being prepared. Be prepared. And can I tell you why I want us to know what prophecy, why I want us to study eschatology, and why we should know what the Bible says, not just to be a good student in the Word of God, not just say that we know the prophecies and eschatology, but I want us to know that the signs and the times, and that you and I can be prepared, that when that trumpet sounds, and at that moment He steps on that cloud, that we know for a certain that we're ready to meet Jesus Christ. There may be people in this room that's never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You know what you're doing? You're playing a terrible game. You're playing a foolish, a dumb game this morning with your life, that Jesus Christ could take you just like that. Those of you who are children of God, you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. Maybe you're away from God. Think about Jesus Christ coming at this very moment. Boy, we should be prepared. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to take a journey, not to what has happened, but what's going to happen. I want you to be prepared. That's what I'm asking you to do. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. We've just given a simple survey, an overview of eschatology. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. The first thing I'm going to ask you to do is concentrate on yourself. Nobody else, not the person beside of you, not your husband or your wife, not a son or a daughter, not anybody else in the room, but yourself. You and the Lord, that's it. I'm going to ask you, first of all, to pray this prayer over the next 3 weeks, over the month of September. God, open my eyes. The psalmist said, open thou my eyes that may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Right now, I want you to pray, Lord, open my eyes. God, enlighten my eyes. Let me see. Show me, teach me. May your Holy Spirit just give me the eyes that I can see. The second thing I want to ask you to do is this. Am I ready? You know, that old game hide and seek we used to play, ready or not, here I come. I want you to ask yourself this question. Am I ready? Do I know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior? Is there any doubts in my life about my salvation? Am I ready according to my own personal life? Do I have things in my life that I need to get right with God? Do I need to confess some things? Do I need to get right with my brother and sister in Christ? Am I ready to meet Jesus Christ? If today were today, if today were God were to call us home, whether it be by death or rapture, are we ready? The third question I want you to ask yourself this morning. Are there others that I know that need to be ready? Is there somebody at my work? Is there somebody at my school? Is there somebody that's talked to me about what's going on in our world? Is there anybody else that would benefit from the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ concerning the end times? Three questions this morning. Number one, would you pray, God, open my eyes? Number two, am I ready? Number three, God, put somebody on my heart that I can bring them, that I can get them here, that they can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ concerning the end times. This morning, if God spoke to your heart about something, we're going to have an invitation. You can come and do business with the Lord. Let's all stand to our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed. Heavenly Fathers, we have this invitation now. Speak to hearts. Change us, mold us, make us. God, if there be people in this building, they've got friends, God, would you help them to come and beg you for a way to get them here? God, if there's somebody here that's not ready, God, may they come and take Pastor Todd by the hand and he can show them how they can be ready according to eternity. God, if there's Christians that need to get things right with you, may today be that day. And God, may we bow our faces before you and say, God, open my eyes. Show me things I've never seen before. God, may this be a change in our church and our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right now, if God's speaking to your heart, she plays that organ. Right now, if God spoke to your heart, you come. That's me, Brother John. You come. That's right. Come on. If God's speaking to your heart, you come. There are folks at this altar. Maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Would you come and take Pastor Todd by the hand? He's waiting down front. And he'll meet you. He'll show you how you can know Jesus Christ on a personal level. Would you come this morning if God spoke to your heart? Is there somebody on your heart, co-worker, friend, family, neighbor? Would you come and ask God, God, would you get them here? Would you get them here? Maybe your life isn't where it should be. She'll continue to play. We'll tarry. We'll be patient this morning. Thank you. Amen. Look right this way. Thank you for being here with us this morning. How many feel like your appetite is wet now? I mean, you're ready to get some more stuff. Well, over the next 3 weeks, man, it's gonna get good. It's gonna be good. So hope you'll be here. Invite somebody to come with you. Again, there'll be some media announcements about it. Please share it. Give it to somebody. Let somebody know about it. And we're looking forward to a great few weeks here studying about prophecy. Don't forget, tonight, 6 o'clock, is Awana training. If you haven't done that, please be here for that. Our service tonight, 7 o'clock. We'll talk a little bit more about prophecy this evening. We don't go in great detail because we'll save it for Sunday mornings, but we're going to deal with some prophecy tonight. So I encourage you to be back tonight. And then the ladies' meeting right over here to my right about the ladies' conference. If you're interested in going, ladies, teen girls, she'll have some information and get you caught up a little bit about that. Thank you for being with us. I'm going to ask our missionary family, if you would, go back to the table there and speak to them as you leave today. Our visitors, thank you so much. At the end of the service, I'll be back in the back as well and hopefully get a chance to get to know you and see you and speak to you guys as well. All right, let's dismiss ourselves in a word of prayer and thank God for the opportunity he's given us to be here again this morning. Brother Don Early, would you close us out in a final word of prayer this morning, please?